Jeff is an automotive lecturer at Pilbara TAFE WA with over 20 years teaching experience. Jeff has a keen interest in the development of online learning and support systems, and of particular interest is the development of technologies that enable the generation of reusable learning resources, the methodologies to support them, and real-time contact systems that will take the distance out of distance assessment and training. Jeff is a director of EduPov and is the originator of camera glasses technologies, as been trialled by a large number of TAFE and other organisations Australian wide. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Lubich.
Hi all. It's been a very long journey to get here, but it's gratifying to see the amount of people that have turned out to our first inaugural event to see what we're doing with EduPov and point of view technologies. This little demo here is live to air broadcast. A couple of people have been over and had a look at the demo I was running earlier. That's a little wireless transmitter, which is transmitting back to a computer over on that table there, which is rebroadcasting to the internet. This one's picking the broadcast up and then putting it up onto a data projector. So essentially this is real-time delivery, or in this particular case, I'm going to be using it to demonstrate a couple of processes you can use to make your experiences with camera glasses a little bit easier and more productive. This technology is not meant to be scary. It's meant to be simple. We don't want people to look at it and think it's too hard for us to do. As Jeff said, I'm a mechanic. I'm no IT specialist. My development of this stuff came out of a desire and a need to find a way to gather assessment information from students in the workplace that were a long way away from where I host my classes, which is in Karratha in the Pilbara. So I have students that come from as far away as Tom Price and Port Hedland, and bearing in mind the distances and the roads and stuff that we have up north, it's actually very difficult for those students to get to class a lot of the time. And we rely on these technologies to a degree now to enable those students to provide proof of competence from the workplace. Their employers love it. I've actually got four pairs of glasses out at the moment with apprentices at Rio Tinto in Tom Price and Panawanica. So we expect reasonably great things out of it. I don't plan to talk too much about all the guff that other people have already discussed. I'm not a big one for public speaking. But I have been asked on a number of occasions by people, how can we use the camera glasses? How can we set it up so that we achieve the best outcome for the video we're taking? How can we make sure that what we're recording is actually in the field of view of the camera? And that's basically what I'm going to be showing you people today. As some of you no doubt are users of these technologies in the workplace, you get a camera and an MP4 player in a plastic box. The kits are provided without glasses, so you actually have to go out and buy your own glasses. We generally recommend that the preferred one is UVEX Super G's, but pretty much any pair of safety glasses can be used. And then the cameras are literally glued onto the glasses to suit what you're doing with them, and then you go away and use them. Now, as one of our panel members said, the best way to learn to use this stuff is just to grab it and go and play with it. And in his case, he passes it off to his kids to get it critiqued and for them to have a bit of fun with. And the end result is that he's found out as much as he needs to find out about it to make it effective for him to use in the workplace. I've got a couple of samples here of cameras that have been mounted onto. And you'll have to excuse me for a moment while I take all the bits and pieces out. And I will just pass this around. This particular headset's got three cameras mounted onto it. Best way to show you is right here. One of them right there, another one on the top of the brim, and a
got the camera mount on the side. Both of these little cameras on here are exactly the same cameras as come in the POV kits, and they're literally just glued on. In the case of... Sorry? Oh. They're literally just glued on, so that there's no difficulty in mounting these onto the helmet. These particular ones have been set up with little hinges so that the cameras are adjustable for vertical field of view. This particular camera as well is adjustable. This particular bullet cam is one that I brought in from China to do some trial work with. It's a webcam as well. It records on board. So it's actually a micro version of the expensive stuff that Matt's got on demo over there. Nowhere near as good, but is versatile and does have an application in some of the stuff. So I've got to pass that around and look at that. I have been asked by some people, how do I maintain what I'm recording into the field of view, so that when I'm working with my camera and trying to record an activity that either I'm performing or a student's performing, I look at the video after and it's fallen out of the bottom of what I'm looking at. And it's a common complaint. And really it comes down to just learning how to use the cameras. POV videography is not natural. Okay, we bolt a camera to our head, we have it pointing in a particular direction, and we go and expect to get perfect video out of it when we go to use it. And that is never, ever going to happen. There will always be some degree of head movement. Unless you take the time to think about what you're doing, to get the best out of what you're doing, then all you're ever going to achieve is a head shake. People who look at it are going to get seasick and stuff. But it is relatively simple to set it up so that you can actually maximise your experiences with it and maximise the potential of the video that you're generating with it. Now, is there anyone here who's actually using camera glasses in the workplace? And hopefully there's heaps of you. Well, a lot of you are going to be taking messages back to other people. This particular pair of glasses has got a fixed camera on it. And if I was to set this up so that I could maintain the video image within the field of view, the idea here is to actually literally use the MP4 player as a field of view. So when I'm setting the camera up and a marker on the lens of the glasses so I can use that as an aiming point when I'm taking video, I literally use the MP4 player as the field of view to centre the camera. So I might set the camera up, for instance, in front of that mic, and I would literally just set my head up so that the image of the MP4 player is exactly in the centre of the MP4 player. Well, that's wonderful. Didn't work. Pass it around.
So that is just marked on there with a whiteboard marker, which means the next person who wants to use it can wipe it off and then reset it to suit what they want. But it means that when you go to use that particular camera now, every time you go to film something, you've got a reference point to point the camera at to maintain what you're looking at in the field of view. It's quick, it's simple, and it's accurate. And if the people who are using the cameras had that process explained to them or showed to them once, then the next time they go to do it, there'll be no more issues with the object you're filming falling out from underneath the field of view. The mounts that I use on these cameras, and this goes for both the wireless setup that we're using and the ones that we're selling as EduPOV ones,
As a kit, I provide a little hinge, and I just let them over here, so I just grab it. Innovation with these video cameras, because it's such new technology, there is nothing out there on the market that mates this type of technology to safety wear. You can't go and buy a small head camera in a pair of safety glasses or the bolts to a set of safety glasses anywhere in the world. There is no such animal. So everything that's been put together has actually been put together out of componentry that's been sourced off generally the web, for a specific purpose, and that is to assemble that particular setup so that it can be used in workplaces. The development of it came out of Rio Tinto when we were originally using the first of the camera glasses in the mining company. They were not very happy about the safety standards of the glasses. They came from China. They were made out of really cheap, nasty plastic. They weren't built to Australian standards. There was no effort at all to make them safe. And they just said there was no go, no way it was going to happen. So we came up with this setup that Rio Tinto then took away and had a look at and said that they were perfectly happy to have that particular style of safety glasses and cameras used in any of their workplaces. The cameras were set up so that they would break away from the glasses in the case of an accident. The safety glasses are standard Australian safety glasses, so they've got all the standard codes, et cetera, on. And I guess that's part of the innovation that I wanted to bring up and talk about is POV, being that it is so new, is going to require people who wish to use it to come up with some fairly innovative ideas and processes so that they can actually get the maximum advantage of this stuff in the particular environment that they want to use it in. Because, like I said, no one has really designed specific stuff out there to do what we want to do with this. These hinges are available off the internet. These websites, which I'm about to show you, will be available on the EduPOV blogs in the next day or two, so there's no need to copy all this stuff down. I use a couple of sucker mounts as well with the cameras when I use them sometimes. I've actually got a couple set up on a web camera over on that table, so I can glue a camera to a window or the windscreen of a car or the bonnet of a car or the guard of a car next to a wheel where a student may be removing a wheel or a set of brakes or whatever, or, as the case may be, those little cameras. Because they literally glue to the same clip-on mount on these little webcams little mounts as well. Like I said, this is all stuff off eBay. No doubt some of you have seen some of these things around before. That's a little plug-in USB camera. Doesn't require any software. I use one of these on an occasional basis, hooked up to a USB extension and just taped up under the bonnet of a car or on the suspension system, looking down over where the student may be working. This particular one records straight back to the computer. So rather than using a little MP4 player to do the recording, I'm actually using a computer, or I'm using that as a broadcast camera. Now, the particular system that we're using for the broadcaster is not dependent or doesn't require a specific camera to make it operate. It'll operate on virtually any camera that will hook up to the computer. And as you can see, what's that? $5. It's pretty cheap to go out and buy a camera on a pair of glasses or a helmet. Or whatever. Else. Because it's that easy. There's not a great deal more I wanted to say specifically other than start throwing some questions at me. I'm just to give you a little bit of background, I'm the guy that 5 years ago started this little beast, and was, I think, as far as I know, the second person in Australia to actually use spy glasses in... Oh, we've got to get away from that term. Camera glasses in training and assessment. Or I may have been the first in training and assessment. I know someone else had used them at some stage for some other activity. And then over a period of time, I had other people come on board and trial them out, and then Alex came on board, and then Leo, and hence developing with Leo the online broadcast capability that we hope to develop into a real-time performance support system or a live video-based delivery system. Just on that note, I actually did my very first live video delivery from Karratha TAFE up to Port Hedland TAFE, last Monday, which was quite interesting. It was a fairly simple little exercise, just training a group of students in Hedland how to use YouTube and Blip TV so that they could upload evidence video into their own private channels within Blip and TV. But it worked really well. So I had a couple of cameras set up. One was focused on my desktop computer and one was focused on me. And I just flicked backwards and forwards between the cameras as I was either chatting to them or I was feeding them information that I needed them to see, or activities I needed them to see happening on the computer. So it was a fairly simple process. None of the complexities of online meeting rooms, like Adobe Connect and so on and so forth. And I know a lot of people like Adobe and Illuminate and Blackboard and some of the other programs. Personally, I think they've just got too much stuff in them. And for a lot of our activities, they have far more capability than we need, which just creates confusion. Most of my students won't go near them. They find them too complex and hard to use. Some of them find it easy. But we're talking about a fairly diverse group of students wherever we may be, and there's always a fairly substantial proportion of those students who don't like using complex systems on computers. So building this thing was part of a process to come up with something that was really simplified, that provided really easy, simple, quick interaction between myself and students, whether it be a group of students in a classroom as it was on Monday, or as I hope in the future, individually, as I provide performance support to individual students within workplaces like Rio Tinto and Fortescue Metals and so on, who are some of our big clients up in the Pilbara. We have students from all those groups. Fortescue in particular is very keen on the idea of seeing remote assessment and delivery occur into their mine site. It's a long, long way inland, and it's expensive and difficult for them to get apprentices into TAFE, and they would prefer to see as much of it happening as possible in real time into the workplace. And systems like this will help us sort of meet that need. But
are you using the camera glasses for assessment or for actually teaching in terms of conveying content and information, or do you have a combination of both?
I guess a combination of both. I have students wear the camera glasses in the workplace, and I've been playing around with I guess, two forms of assessment as far as using the camera glasses directly in the workplace. I either direct the students, give them very clear, precise direction as to evidence that I want them to produce from the workplace. And it could be as specific as, and again, I'll use my auto trade as an example, show me removing a wheel off a car or a four or five different cars using a rattle gun, an air gun. Show me the procedure for putting a wheel back on four or five different cars according to the manual for that particular vehicle. So they're only providing information on one process, but a multiple number of times. That's easy to assess. It's also easy to use that video, provided they've done a good job, for delivery purposes with other students. The second option is undirected, where you simply say to the student, put the glasses on and for the next 4 hours wear them while you're at work. Now, I've had no employers that we've done this with show concern about the fact that the guys are wandering around with a camera on. The fact that the camera's obvious, I guess, alleviates some of the concerns that they would normally have. Everyone is aware it's going on. Anyway, those students just record all their activities during that 4 hours, except for some. There are occasions when we would prefer them to turn the camera off. But for all their work-based activities, they just record the whole lot. Then I'll sit down with the students sometimes. Sometimes I'll leave it for them to do it and go through that particular video and look for elements within that video, and I'll fast-forward through it, so it doesn't take 4 hours to do. I'll fast-forward through it until I find the little bits that are of interest to me, and I'll either cut them out or just notate it. Or I'll ask a student to do it. Now, some students have no hassles at all using Windows Movie Maker or other associated editing programs. Some students can barely turn a computer on. They can operate the camera glasses, but they need help with the rest of it. So, you know, expecting those particular students to be able to upload video onto the internet and so on and so forth is just expecting a bit much of them. Hence, the two forms of assessment that we use that enable me then with those students to gather enough information in certain areas to help with determining competence. Also helps with them. They feel pretty confident about themselves after they've gone through the video with me, and they can see that they actually do know what they're doing. Even if they're making a mistake, by having the student there when you're doing it, if he can indicate that he's aware he's made a mistake and he can indicate what he should have done or how he should have solved the problem, as far as I'm concerned, that's almost the same as actually doing it on the job. And I won't ask him to do it again because he's indicated that he has got the knowledge. I'll look for other additional forms of evidence that might help support, like job cards from the workplace on other different vehicles, letters from employers, etc., etc., etc. But generally speaking, yeah, not a drama.
Hi, Jeff. First, thanks for the presentation and showing a different way where POV cameras can be built and made much more affordable to teachers and communities that can't afford high-end stuff. Mm. Have you done any tutorials on putting them together and marking the mark so that you don't lose the screen below and stuff?
Not
like
yet.
That?
That's on the cards for when I get back to Karratha next week. Alex and I will be doing a fair bit of work. We have started to do a few, and we've obviously got a bit more work to do on it. But yes, we are going to do some video-based tutorials that define some of those processes far more accurately than like just standing here or writing in an email. That'll make it fairly easy to do. I should point out, in response to that question about making it affordable, we don't desire to sell bucket loads of POV gear and gather the associated income from it. I mean, obviously, it's nice to sell some so you get some income to support what we're doing, but I would also like people to realise that there is no difficulty in going out onto the web, finding some of this gear and putting it together yourself so that you can actually do what you need to do. The little DVR card that I've got hooked up over on that computer over there that picks up the wireless broadcast or transfers the wireless broadcast from the receiver back into the computer was $6.95 off eBay. And there are thousands of cameras out there that will hook up directly to that. So that comes with a really good editing suite, software suite to go with it for cutting and editing video, for badging it, the whole lot. $6.95, that's a steal. Frank Gurin built a camera just a little while ago, and that's the one that Michael Coughlin was wearing in that photo. It's not pretty, but it does the job. And I think we lose sight of the fact that a lot of what we need to do doesn't need really high-quality equipment to do it with. It needs something that'll just do the job. If we wait for it to be as perfect as it's going to get, we'll never use it. We'll never develop the systems or the methodologies that we need to have in place to enable us to use it when it comes out anyway. So don't be afraid to go out there and play. You know, go and spend $30 on an El Cheapo camera and a set of hinges so you can make a couple of mounts, and then stick it on anything you like and do video recording. You don't have to buy an MP4 player to record it into. It's very convenient to have a full little kit that you can fork out to a student or a lecturer so they can do some specific stuff. But if you're playing with it yourself, be inventive. Go and buy a cheap camera. Most people have already got a laptop, I'm assuming. If you've already got the laptop, $6.95 for the DVR card. You can buy cameras off the internet for next to nothing. You can buy the extension cables for the cameras that will then hook directly up to the DVR card for about $4 each. So for under $50 US, you can build a very, very effective POV system that you don't have to use as a POV camera. You can mount it anywhere you like. But what I'm getting at is it's easy to do, it's not expensive, and all it takes is a desire to actually do something a little bit different. And that's where all this came from with me, is the desire just to do something differently, but in a way that perhaps adds value to what I do and to what the students do.
Jeff, I was very impressed with your simple demonstration in black and white. I didn't think that I'd be able to see under a low light circumstance in black and white the nuances that you of what you were doing with your hands, and yet I saw it streamed from the internet and not just even live.
Yeah. I've tried it with colour cameras. As a matter of fact, Steph has seen some of the colour stuff, and there are issues with colour with FM transmitters, particularly low power transmitters. It starts to break up really bad, and you get all this colour shading going on and all that sort of stuff in the image, which makes it very, very difficult to see anyway. We also have the issue with colour cameras are very unreliable in low-light situations.
Okay.
So I went back to the manufacturers and got them to build me a low-light black-and-white camera that doesn't have those issues with that colour attenuation in the video stream. So I wind up with a clean, crisp image that transmits easily and well, yet still provides an image that's certainly good enough for what I want to do at the moment. Obviously, I'd like to see later on to be able to do it in colour, but, you know, that's something that we'll work on as we go forward with it.
Yeah, my name's Ian. I'm from the Navy, and one of the banes of my existence for us as an RTO is AQTF auditing and compliance. I was very interested to know how you use the distant assessment approach and how that... Do you use that simply as a record of performance and you then have a paper-based...
You still have to have the reporting mechanisms behind it. I write some video-based assessment tools for my students. Those assessment tools still have to go through the same validation and moderation processes as any other assessment tool. Robin Jay was talking earlier on about storage of video and whether, you know, it's appropriate to do tick and flicks and so on and so forth. Realistically, all the video is doing is providing remote presence. The rest of the process for assessment remains pretty much the same. So whatever requirements you have in place for ticking and flicking and recording the activities and the performance of the students is still required to do that. But at least the video evidence is there as well as a backup, and it means you don't have to go out and see that student. But to do it, you have to be fairly specific. Like I say, there's two forms of it. One is undirected, in which case you don't need to provide the student any information at all other than to say, go and record 4 hours while you're doing these general activities. If you wish to be fairly specific about it, then you actually write an assessment and go through all the normal validation processes with that assessment. But it's very direct and, like I say, focused for the student. As far as they're concerned,
they know exactly what they're doing, and they only do that little bit. The indications are, I have from the auditors, that there's no problem with it. They're very happy with the idea of video evidence and anything that goes along with it to support it. It used to be in the past that they were iffy about it, but the attitudes of the auditors Australia-wide are changing as far as that goes, and now, especially bearing in mind the current financial climates and resource problems we have in TAFEs Australia-wide and other training institutions, they're being a lot more lenient about the way we gather evidence and the types of evidence we gather, provided we can back it up. That's really the only requirement. If you can back it up, it's okay. Killed me time, have I? Cool.
Thank you very much, Jeff, for that very practical session. I'm sure people would have got a lot of value and ideas to tinker themselves. I think we'll do a quick changeover and then let me introduce Simon Ross.
Thank you all very much.